I love going back to familiar places and finding something new. That's one of the great things that birding can offer you.
Thank you for tuning in to Hannah and Eric Go Birding, a podcast by birders for birders.
My name's Hannah and his name is Eric.
And we created this podcast to share adventures, sometimes misadventures, and opinions that we have on different birding topics. We're definitely not experts. Anything that we discuss that might be controversial, I want you to remember, their own opinions, it might be different from yours.
I gotta say, so many people have been talking to me about this silly little song that I sing at the beginning of the episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in my head about it. I just gotta say, like, I didn't realize people paid so much attention to it.
It's just like my signature. Now I'm in a situation where I can't sign my signature anymore.
Yeah, well, you just do a triangle. Like a messy triangle.
No, it's better. It's more refined, but I'm in my head, and now I can't do it.
I know it's been more of a rectangle recently.
Ooh, it's been a disaster.
Yeah.
Overall. Anyways, so there's some interesting things going on.
Hang on. No, we're in the doldrums of winter.
No, it's...
Okay, yeah.
No, speaking of doldrums of winter, Cornell Lab of Ornithology put out a thing. I think it came out today. I'm not sure. The 5th of March.
Yeah.
But it's called Beast Box, and
I think it is, because I like saw it all over my Facebook and all my social feeds and everything about Beast Box, and it's like never heard of it once until today.
Yeah, so I remember back in high school, maybe it was middle school.
Okay.
When
you were really into beatboxing?
No, I wasn't into beatboxing. No, it was we had GarageBand on the computers back then.
Okay.
And you could, mix and remix stuff. It's around. Yeah, it's a thing that exists. But I remember, in middle school, or maybe it was high school. I can't remember which.
Well, in elementary school, the computers that they taught us to type on were all Macs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But the GarageBand.
Okay.
Like, you could sample different beats of things, and you just put them together, and you're like, oh, look, I'm a musical genius.
DJ.
I can do all this cool stuff. So that was fun. I remember doing that, and I haven't done anything like that since.
Okay.
Until this Beast Box came out, and it's just a bunch of, there's a beat going, and then this recordist, DJ slash animal recordist, has uploaded all of this, all these animal calls from different habitats. And you could just plop in elephant next to Hadada, ibis, and just all these different things, and then make little ditties, little songs.
Yeah, so it says, your turn to be a wildlife DJ. The game was inspired by wildlife DJ and beatboxer Ben Marin. So, if you want
to... I enjoyed it for much longer than I would care to admit, while just seeing what different animals sound like next to each other.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool, because they talk a lot about different habitats that these wild animals exist in, and then you can, unlock different, ecoregions, depending on how many species that you use and everything.
I didn't pay that close attention. I was just mixing different animals together.
Oh, see, I'm the kind of person that always looks for the way to, level up into the next thing.
Yeah. I mean, that is fun. It's always nice to level up.
There was little unlocked buttons, locked buttons, so I need to figure out how to unlock them.
See, I've grown too accustomed to this pay-to-play situation with apps that I just see all the locked things and assume, I'm not going to pay to unlock that.
Yeah, I get that.
But, I guess I didn't look that carefully at it.
Yeah. So, anyways, check it out. It's fun.
Beast Box.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So that brings us to the folks that we want to thank for buying us a coffee. We have Vicky and Nathan, who bought us some coffee. So thank you so much for supporting our show. We appreciate it. And everyone else who's done so. And if you want to support our show, you can go to the link in our show notes for Buy Me a Coffee and do just that.
Absolutely.
So... last piece of news that I want to mention. This was inspired by someone who was on one of our trips in the San Diego Bird Festival, which we'll talk about in a minute. There was a father and son on one of our trips
San Diego Bird Festival.
That the father mentioned to me at one point during the field trip that it would be really cool if we had a junior birder moment to give them a chance to, talk about the things that they're seeing in their area or, cool things that they learned about birds. So
give their story about birding.
Yeah. So in that vein, we decided to open up our Google Voice box, which we've had open before, when we've done the end of the year, secret question thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's an opportunity for you or kids or anyone to dial a birder, is what I'm calling it. If you've seen the couple TikToks that we've made of dial a birder, this is kind of derived out of that, as well as with Neil's suggestion.
Yeah.
And so what this is a guinea pig moment. So you can call in to dial a birder, which I'll put the number in the show notes, but it's 503-741-9306. I'll say it again for you. It's 503-741-9306. And you can call in to dial a birder and ask a birder question. Mm-hmm. You can call in there and say, like, hey, you know, these birds are migrating through my area right now. Hey, I learned this fun fact. Something like that. It's kind of open form. If, you know, we'll maybe, depending on how many responses we get, if we get any,
yeah,
we'll put one or two on the next episode. Or if it's a question, maybe we'll just answer the question to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and if you don't want us to say it on the episode, just mention that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
we can either answer it or not play it, but otherwise the intention would be for us to play it on the episode so we can get other voices.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of that. Like I said, it's a
it's an experiment.
It's an experiment in progress. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Yeah. So you can call that phone number and answer or ask one of those sorts of things.
Cool. Awesome. It'll be in the show notes.
That was very messy. I apologize.
It's not bad. It was okay. So speaking of speaking and other voices,
okay,
you have two other podcasts, Women Birders Happy Hour and Bird Nerd Book Club, both of which come out on the opposite weeks from us. And coming up next week, you've got Women Birders Happy Hour. Who do you have on?
Yeah, so I'm interviewing Brenda Sanchez, who is a birder in Panama. I'm very excited about that. And that, like Eric said, will come out March 14th. So you can find Women Birders Happy Hour wherever you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. And you just finished reading a book for Bird Nerd Book Club and you interviewed the author last week.
I did.
What did they have to say?
Yeah, so it was the author was Jordan Spalding about his new book, Black-Throated Blue Warbler, which was a very fun novella about kind of the thoughts and actions of a black-throated blue warbler female during the migration season. So that came out on February 29th, and I encourage you to check that one out as well. So, Eric, we're going some places.
We are. We just got back from a place.
Yeah.
Got back from the San Diego Bird Festival, which we will be talking about during this episode and next episode, partially. But coming up next month is Spring Chirp. We've got Spring Chirp April 17th to the 20th down in Weslaco. That's South Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. We're going on a cruise, a princess cruise, a repositioning cruise from LA to, it's a cruise, you know.
Yeah.
May 7th to 11th, LA to Vancouver, Canada, Vancouver, BC. Dean Hale Woodpecker Festival. We are super excited to get over to Central Oregon and do some birding with woodpeckers and other high desert species, May 30th to June 2nd. And then Amazon Birding Expedition Brazil for Women in September.
Yeah, which is the trip that I'm going on. Yes. And Eric fortunately found someone to guide him.
I did find a guide. So we're gonna see how that works. He's supposed to email me back in the next day or so with some quotes and stuff. So
you'll be on the lone road by yourself.
I know. But I'm excited to get to Brazil.
Oh, totally.
I've never been there. We've never been there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. You're gonna have a great time with all the women guides and all that stuff.
Yeah, so. And you're gonna have a great time being in Brazil. So that brings us to our Bird Nerd giveaway.
Yes.
For March, which we were generously donated a couple of coffee cups from Land, Sea, and Sky, which is an optics retailer.
Yeah, so they generously donated a couple of mugs that have little play on words, Land, Seal, and Sky. You can add it to your bird/animal/wildlife collection of coffee mugs. You got to answer a question for us, though.
Of course.
And in order to win this, what do they got to answer?
I think they need to tell us their very favorite bird pun.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Favorite bird pun. Even if it's not a favorite, if it's one that maybe you think that we've never heard or that somebody else hasn't heard before, it doesn't have to be your favorite.
No, it does. It has to be the favorite.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, I take that back. It has to be your favorite.
We don't want second best here.
Only accepting favorites. Yeah. That's it.
So anyways, the deadline for that is going to be Tuesday, March 19th. So you can email us, Facebook us, you can call us on the dial-a-birder
if
you want and tell us what your favorite bird pun is to win these coffee cups from Land, Sea, and Sky. So cool. that brings us to San Diego Bird Festival. One yes, of my
brings us right back to San Diego.
Yeah, which is one of my very favorite festivals to go to, and not just because, you know, we get to go and guide and all that, but it's warm is number one.
And it's in February.
Yeah.
So it's not warm. We're living here on the Oregon coast. It's generally rainy and a little bit dreary, but it has to rain that much to be green in Oregon. I always tell myself that.
Okay.
But it is nice in the middle of February to get out of the rain for a little bit and go down to sunny San Diego.
Totally.
And experience some fantastic birds. The birdiest county in the country.
Yep.
San Diego County has more species of birds than any other single county in the U.S.
It helps that it's ginormous.
It is a giant. It covers a lot of habitats.
Yeah, exactly. You got the...
But it's just one county, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're drawing political boundaries in some fashion, they've been drawn, and they weren't drawn around the birds. They were drawn around reason.
I think they were drawn around birds so that they would have the most birds in that county.
The founders of San Diego County, they had that in mind.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because Mission Bay, you know... That was designated as like a wildlife recreation area at one point in time throughout its vast history of multi-use.
Multi-different designations that it's had over a number of 100 years.
Yeah. So then when they were drawing counties, they were like, this is what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, it was a county designed to be the birdiest. Okay. I like the theory.
Yeah. totally unfounded.
Completely unfounded.
So anyways, this is our, I think, fourth year going to the San Diego Bird Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we usually lead biking and birding. Last year, it rained heavily for most of the time we were there. Yeah,
so we only went biking once.
We only went biking once. So this time, we were watching the weather leading up to it.
Oh my gosh, trying to come up with a contingency after contingency, because I didn't want to get down there and have to panic at the last minute to figure out what we're going to do. How we're going to take people around for a fun day without already having it planned.
Well, you know, we thought on our toes last year.
We did. We did all right last year. But I just didn't want to have to, like, depend on doing all right. I wanted to do really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to give them the best experience if it was raining.
Well, that's always the goal.
Yeah. But then it didn't rain, so it was okay.
But it rained, like, every day until the first day of the festival.
Yeah, we landed on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
First day, they had a Wednesday evening bird thing, and then Thursday was really the first day. Tuesday was pouring down rain all day. We landed, and it was just raining sideways, and it was like, we didn't leave Oregon. Oh, no.
We brought it with us.
The plane took off and landed back in Portland. It's still raining.
Beside the joke about the weather, I love going to San Diego for a number of reasons. Like, not just because of the amazing birds that are there and that it's an opportunity to get out of the rain and cold for a little while. Mm-hmm. Because I think I'm a Californian at heart. I mean, I know I was born and raised in Oregon and only left for 6 years, but...
And you went to Texas in that time, not California.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm a Californian at heart. But, you know, there's such good food and drinks and nature and things to do in San Diego. So even if you don't go for the birding festival, you know, you go any other time of year, or even you go in February and don't participate in the festival, it is a great place to visit.
For non-birding spouses, it's a pretty good place to go.
Well, even birding. I mean, like you said.
It's, no, for birding, it's good. But then if you're going to bring your non-birding spouse with you or your non-birding partner or whatever, they're still going to have a good time.
Exactly. So anyways, as Eric mentioned, we arrived there on Tuesday.
A nice rainy Tuesday afternoon.
And Eric had it in his head that he wanted to go to the Ramona Grasslands Preserve to find some burrowing owls, because there was a scouting trip the previous couple days before the festival that went up there. And we've never been, and never he wanted to see burrowing owls.
Yeah, it's kind of northeast or central east, central north. San Diego County. It was about 45 minutes or so
from
the airport. Almost closer to an hour away from the airport, but it was northeast of the airport by about an hour or so. Great habitat. It has a bunch of burrowing owl nest boxes that have been set up in the rocks that are kind of all over this whole preserve, this grassland preserve, and also ferruginous hawks are around. So I was super excited. Let's get out there. Let's see if we can. Maybe we'll get some good pictures and maybe some videos of burrowing owls and maybe get some good pictures of ferruginous hawks, because they'd had some over the last couple of days. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And we get out there and it is raining. It was raining at the airport when we landed. It was pouring down rain when we got out there.
Yeah.
the parking lot, which is like halfway through the preserve. There's a road that goes along, kind of splits the preserve in half.
Like a highway.
Like a highway that goes east and west. And about halfway down that highway, there's a parking lot. And that parking lot was just flooded.
Well, like, and when
just full of mud. And it was closed and locked, and it said closed due to weather.
And we had mapped to this location. So, mm-hmm. like, I found the eBird pin, and I was just mapping to that pin. And as we drove past that parking lot that was closed, there were some people coming out of the reserve, preserve, and they were, like, caked in mud.
Yeah, they
and were. I was sitting in the seat, like, praying that Eric wasn't going to be like, hey, let's go. Because well, that I would not put that past him.
I wouldn't put it past me either. I'd give it a shot, but we didn't defy the sign saying it's closed. I think it was just the parking was closed. I think pedestrian wise you were allowed to walk in, but we drove down the road a little further, and we just kind of pulled off on the side of the road. It was just raining hard. Our binoculars were still buried. Everything was still buried in our mm-hmm. in our luggage because we just got off the plane, but. We just went ahead and stopped, got out of the car, and lo and behold, found some ravens. And nothing else for a little while. It was just kind of standing there, and it's like, okay, it's kind of miserable, kind of wet and cold and rainy. Had some mountain bluebirds fly up.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. And then there were some burrowing owls, which I was thankful that at least we saw, a single burrowing owl standing next to... its nest.
Yeah,
its,
but you, its nest box. You were like, there's potato over there. And I was like, what? Because Eric doesn't normally call things potatoes. It's me that calls things potatoes.
It looks like a potato.
I know.
It's just a little potato standing on the ground.
We'd gotten up early and I was just super confused what you were talking about. So, yeah, we did that. It was okay. Got the burrowing owl. So that's good.
We weren't able to get videos or pictures or anything like that. So I was like, eh, but... it was good. And that preserve is definitely worth going back there. The Ramona Grasslands Preserve.
If it hadn't rained for like a week leading up to that, I think.
It's not typically rainy in that area. So I think you got a pretty good chance that when you go there, it's not going to
have rain. I don't know. I just know what it's like to slog around in the mud. And I prefer not to do that.
It looked very slippery mud too.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't look like it was mud that you would sink into. It just looked like it was mud that top like quarter inch.
You'd fall and break your camera.
Exactly. You'd slip and then you'd land on your head. Like you'd do a full flip in the air, like a cartoon character, and land on your head.
Okay.
That's the kind of mud it looked like.
Well, I would have liked to see that, so I'm sorry we didn't go.
So, Ramona Grassland Preserve, cool place to go revisit, I definitely think. But burrowing owls, nothing else for us that day.
Yeah. Well, not that day, at that location.
At that location.
Yeah.
At that location that day.
So then there was another location around the corner that I don't think they had seen anything particular. We just decided to go check it out, called Dos Picos Community Park.
County Park.
Yeah.
Dos Picos County Park.
Yeah, so we headed over there. It has a huge parking lot. So
yeah, it does.
There is obviously a ton of activities that can be done park.
The whole eastern half of the park was like a wedding venue.
Oh, I know.
There was like multiple wedding venues areas set up over there that you could have this huge gazebo, and it had all the buffets.
Which was like actually mounted. It was actually pretty cool. I've never been to a place like that where it's like so set up to have weddings that they had like pedestals set out for the buffet lines. And then they had all of these picnic tables, like concrete, you know, heavy picnic tables set up in various places. So it's like obviously like a reception area,
which is
actually really cool. And it was right next to this big pond that had a lot of ducks in it. So yeah, if you're in the area and you're planning on getting married, that might be a good option for you. Had a bathroom right next to it too, which of course I always, you know, like knowing where the facilities are.
It is the closest. So that's a good point. Going to Ramona, there's flush toilets at Dos Picos County Park.
Yeah.
Not that far away. There is a parking fee to park there.
It was
there,
like $5.
But it's not that bad.
Yeah. And just briefly, while we're talking about bathrooms,
of course.
If you hate my bathroom talk, just like blow on past this point.
I imagine 30 seconds, maybe you can skip ahead and we'll be out of it.
Well, anyways, so in the bathroom, there was like some big, you know, single person bathrooms. And in them, they had like the coolest like feminine hygiene dispenser in it with free products, which was, I don't know, I just thought was really cool that we were like, I felt like we were kind of in the middle of like backcountry and everything. And they had this really great county park that was, it was raining heavily, so we didn't get a great, you know, look at what the park looks like, but had these really nice feminine hygiene dispensers. So thought that was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So after kind of getting rained out there, there was a nice little feeding flock of like western bluebirds.
Yeah. And, so not even that far away from where we had mountain bluebirds.
Yeah. And chickadees. And I think there was a couple jays there too. Mm-hmm. Then we decided to, you know, check the rare bird alert because there was a Plumbeous vireo that had been being seen in San Diego County. And that was something that we still need for our list.
Yeah, so we sat there, dried out a little bit, mapped the directions, and got on the road and headed down there.
I think it was about half an hour or so.
Yeah, headed straight back towards the airport, basically.
Yeah, to Doyle Community Park, which is a really nice park in the middle of the city. It has a lot of baseball fields mm-hmm. and like tennis courts.
There's play structures, and it's also right next to a pool and a school.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like part of, I assume the school uses the park as... It's fields, playground it's playground something. Fields, yeah. So really, really tighten it into the community there. There's a lot of housing right around it. But the most important part is there was a thicket on the north side of the park, northeast side of the park.
Next
to the dog park. There was just kind of like trees and obviously planted, but kind of wilder grown. And this was home to a slightly out of range vireo. And we get there, we kind of wander around. There was a feral cat that was wandering around, which is kind of...
Oh, it wasn't a feral cat. It had a collar on it.
It did have a collar. It wasn't a feral cat. It was just an outdoor cat.
It was very friendly. It wanted to be our best friend.
It wanted to follow us. And it was like, okay, how do we ditch this cat?
I kept saying, like, go home, kitty. Go home.
Go home. But kind of wandered around the thicket area where it had been being seen. And once we kind of documented, like, all the regular species that were there, we were almost going to pretty much give up.
Well, the most important thing was that it had stopped raining.
It had stopped raining. It was not raining anymore. It was just overcast, and that was it. And it was actually a really light overcast. It was kind of promising. Like,
I think you took your jacket off.
I think I did, too, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, warm enough for that.
Yeah, I was just in a t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Eric said, we walked around the thicket a lot, and I just kind of plunked down and tried to, like, you know... manifest this bird to come out. And, you know, we had the pinpoint of where this bird was. And so then Eric mentioned, like, oh, well, there's some trees along this walkway. Like, let's go, you know, see if it's in the trees. Because in the eBird list that the first person had documented, and it had a picture. And so we were trying to match the tree because it said, I can't remember what species.
It said ficus.
Ficus, you're right.
Yeah.
And we were, like, looking all around, like, none of the trees seem to be a ficus, which I'm not 100% on my tree ID.
Which is what we thought a ficus would be.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking of, like a houseplant ficus or, like, a ficus from, like, Florida. Like, those sorts of, like...
Ficus-y plants.
Like, the fig, like, sort of trees. And it was, like, my thought process was, like, okay, well, I'm trying to find a tree that looks like that, which... We're neither one of us are dendrologists,
yeah,
and not really tree experts. So it's kind of like, well, I don't know. We'll just look at these trees.
Yeah. So yeah, we were trying to like match the leaves and the trees. And, so then Eric mentioned, let's look at the ones in the walkway, and like mm-hmm. the very first tree that we saw, I saw a little like grayish bird like flitting in and out of, and I was like, that can't be it. No, it's never it. I'm never the one that finds it. Guess what?
Hannah found it. Hannah found the bird.
Yeah.
Plumbeous vireo.
Yes.
It's a little vireo. It's like size of a small warbler.
A different kind of vireo.
It's a different kind of vireo. It's a small vireo, or it's a regular size vireo, but it's gray. It has glasses, like kind of a white band for glasses. It's got a white belly, and it's just kind of just a small, pointy bird. If you're familiar with like warblers, it's like a pointier warbler.
Yeah.
For a vireo. So yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, but
feeding, there was a yellow rump up there feeding with it.
Yeah, and the most disappointing thing about the whole thing was that Eric's camera battery was dead.
So completely dead.
He carried it all the way over there, and we were like on the other side of the park from where we parked, which mm-hmm. isn't that far.
No, not that far.
But dipped on getting a picture of it.
Yeah, and I could have gotten us some pretty good photos too, with where it stopped a couple of the times. It was like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Oh. And I didn't even realize it was dead until we got over to where the thing was. And then I pull the lens cap off and I'm getting it ready to go, making sure the settings are set right. And then I can't do anything with it because it was just dead. And I'm like, oh, man.
So always charge your camera battery.
Always charge your camera battery. But so, I charged it that night.
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
So to celebrate. We hadn't booked a hotel for that night. And so we were like trying to figure out where to stay. And I was like, let's just get some lunch and get a beer to celebrate the finding. Yeah. So we Googled like the nearest brewery. It was a weird time of day. So we weren't, you know, a lot of breweries don't open till like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It was like 2 or 3. So we did find one called Gravity Heights, which wasn't too far away and had good beer, fancier food, seemed like kind of a corporate lunch spot. Like we were coming in like, you know, shorts and t-shirts and everybody else was wearing suits.
Yeah. So it's located, near Torrey Hills in a business park. And there were multiple tables. I think maybe 4 total groups that got seated while we were sitting at dinner, that their introductions were, "Oh, hey, it's so nice to finally meet you. You must work with so-and-so. I've been on the Jabberwocky project for 6 months. I've been waiting. I can't believe we haven't connected yet." And this is a real opportunity for us to synergize and ensure total efficiency. Like these conversations was just like time after time again. Just, this was happening over and over. And it's like, this is like the corporate spot to meet at this brewery for lunch. Like it was very weird.
We felt really out of place.
Like we're the only ones sitting there in kind of like field clothes and everyone else is coming in like suits and like button downs and like coming in and like being very like business.
And we're like slob.
Yeah. So we booked our hotel and had our the beer was good. The food was good.
Mm-hmm.
Had that stuff. I had a hazy IPA, or no, it was a hazy pale ale, not a hazy IPA.
Okay.
But it was, I don't really know the difference between a hazy IPA and a hazy pale
ale. Are you sure you really want to,
I don't know.
You really want to say that on a podcast where a lot of birders listen to that, you know.
They probably do know the difference.
Probably do know the difference.
I know. Well, I said it. It's been said. I don't know the difference. It tasted very similar to a lot of hazy IPAs that I've had.
Yeah.
Maybe it's slightly less hoppy. I'm not sure. We don't have hops in the final. Anyways, we had our beer, good food, and we booked our hotel and we got away from business.
Yeah. So we just kind of booked the cheapest and nicest looking place that, you know, we could find, which ended up being the Pacific View Inn. And I'm so glad we ended up doing that. So it's right on the water in Pacific Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a really nice hotel.
It's very similar to our hotel. So we have 12 rooms.
So
and
just,
they have like about less than 20.
Hang on.
So similar in size.
Just for anybody who hasn't really listened to us before, because we don't mention this a whole lot, our main gig is owning and operating a hotel on the Oregon coast. The birding and podcasting and everything is our passion and we love doing it, but it is really, like we don't do it to make money or anything like that. So this is our hotel is like what we do for a job.
Yeah. Cause
I know so many people ask us like, how do you make a living on podcasting? It's like, yeah. We don't.
No. So we do all the cleaning, all the maintenance, all the reservations, all the advertising, all everything for the hotel.
That's
small operation, small family operation. So we have 12 rooms. This other place had less than 20.
It's
probably 15, maybe 18 rooms or so. So similar in size, kind of running in a similar style. So it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. So it was kind of nice staying in another operation similar.
Yeah. And it was like a tiny little hotel that was in amongst giant hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally felt like, yeah, this is the mom and pop place around here. Oh, so we drove down to check in and, you know, charge our phones and everything and our camera batteries.
Charge a camera battery.
And there was a secret bar. Sorry to have so much drinking in this, but, you know, there's a lot of great drinks in San Diego.
Yeah.
I love
lots of great food too.
Yeah. And lots of great birds.
Yeah.
I love hidden bars
that
like you go behind a secret door or you have to like have a password to get into these bars. And so San Diego is flush with them, which is cool.
Yeah, it is.
And we did go to one a couple of years ago when we were there. This is called False Idol and it's a tiki bar.
It's a secret tiki bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found another one that's in Pacific Beach that's called the Grass Skirt. And then
another secret tiki bar.
Yes. And it also was saying that like, oh, and we have a sister bar, which is the Captain's Quarters. And I like couldn't find a whole lot of information about this. Like it was frustrating. Like walking over there, it's like, are we going to find what I'm looking for?
We have no idea.
So we walked, it was about a mile or so from our hotel to get there. And so we walked over, it was starting to get dark, and we found a sign that said the Grass Skirt. And I was like, what kind of hidden bar is this that it has a sign?
A sign at the street.
Yeah. And so you like walk into a strip mall And there's like, it's like you're walking into a...
Walking straight into a kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all tile. And there's a freezer door on one side and then a counter. And so you walk up to the counter and the lady's like...
what are you here for?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
And I was like, the grass skirt. She like...
grabbed some menus and says, okay, let's go.
Yeah. And so she went in the freezer door and walked down this hallway that's like supposed to be like a cave hallway, mm-hmm. like a lava cave. And with like lights on the floor that look like magma or something. And then you walk into this huge tiki bar.
Oh, yeah. It definitely needed a sign. There's a lot of infrastructure that used to be funded by people coming in, so you gotta advertise it at some level.
No, but I thought we were gonna like walk right into it and be disappointed. No disappointment at all.
Nope.
And they had really great drinks, like, you know, think Mai Tais and Hurricanes and stuff like that. Yeah. Like those kind of drinks. And they did have a food menu that had, you know, some like Hawaiian and Polynesian food on there. Mm-hmm. We didn't try that food, because we had just been to the Gravity Heights. But it also said that you're supposed to have a reservation, and I looked on their website, couldn't get a reservation for that day, so I called before we walked over, and they were like, oh, yeah, I'm sure you'll be fine. We got in there. We were, like, the first people in.
Yeah, there's, like, nobody there.
Yeah, so that was great.
It was filling in as we were leaving, though.
It was. So, really fun location. I went to the bathroom, as one has to do, and I constantly talk about bathrooms, and the whole thing is plastered with flamingos. I mean, like, life-size flamingo photos covering the whole thing. So that was really cool.
I didn't go in the men's, no, I wish I didn't even think about it. I should have gone in the bathroom and seen what they had. You didn't tell me there's flamingos in the women's.
I showed you a picture.
Ay-yi-yi.
So anyways, we had a good time there and we were like, well, we got to check out the other one.
Yeah. You got to see what the captain's quarters is.
So we leave.
Cause the only way to go is to just get plopped out on the side of the street and in this kind of door that kind of mixes in and blends. So you don't even know it's there.
It doesn't have an outside handle.
Yeah, you're just like, you're suddenly out on the street and you're like, where the heck was I? And so you go back to the entrance and tell the lady, she's asking you, what do you want? Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And you just say, oh, the captain's quarters. So then she pulls this secret lever that's hidden behind like a flower pot. And the tile wall on the right-hand side just whoosh, opens up like a door. And it's like, oh man, that secret door looks so much better than my secret door.
Yeah.
But door opens up, we go in, and it's all decked out like a ship. Like you're on a sailing ship from like
the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly, the 1800s. And you're going into the captain's quarters, which is a bar. It was fancy. It was a bar that was gin-based. So pretty much all the drinks were all gin this, gin that.
Yeah.
Pretty good. We had they called them fries, but it was like mozzarella sticks almost instead of fries. And then there was another, we got a couple other sampler dish things that were pretty good.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Great decor.
So that was fun. And then the next morning... Eric had a chamber board meeting because he's the president of our local chamber of commerce. Yep. And so I had
2 hours to sit there and talk about chamber of commerce stuff.
I had to go entertain myself, which is not hard to do in Pacific Beach. I sat on the promenade and just watched birds and, you know, people walking past, and mm-hmm. I had my book that I was reading. So that was a lot of fun. And I got a breakfast burrito at Kono's Cafe, which is great. The local behind me in line said, oh, get burrito number... I think he said burrito number 3, won't have to eat for the rest of the day. And I was like, why would I not want to eat for the rest of the day? There's such good food here.
I'm in San Diego. There's so much food.
Yeah. So at that point, we packed up and had to go to the festival headquarters to get stuff ready.
Starting our responsibilities.
Yeah. So our first thing was to go grab vans, which we did that. And then we had a break before getting the bikes all situated. Mm-hmm. And Eric wanted to go find the other burrowing owl that's nearby.
So we had been told there's a burrowing owl still hanging out at the mouth of the river in the riprap that just has made itself home. So we were like, okay, well, we've got an hour. Let's go see if we can find it. And we headed over there to Rob Field, and it was there. We just pretty much just walked straight up to it. And it was like, oh, geez, there it is.
Yeah.
And took a bunch of photos, took a bunch of videos, and had a great time hanging out watching this burrowing owl. Which a handful of people walked by while we were there, and we're like, oh, hey, have you seen the owl? And they're like, I don't know anything about an owl. And then you point out, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. So that was a lot of fun to show a bunch of people who were just like out having a Wednesday afternoon walk.
I know.
And just show them an owl. Standing in the rocks. It was pretty fun. But then we get back, had to go back, move all the bikes up, continue with festival responsibilities. And then, but we did have a fun festival responsibility, which was the wetland walk or
the estuary walk.
Which every day during the festival at 3:30, there's an estuary walk. It's free. You just have to register ahead of time. And you come and kind of walk. And it's very free form. You walk from the festival headquarters up to the estuary in the afternoon and look at what's out there. And we had around 40 species of birds for a one hour walk at 3:30.
There's like 100 people too.
Oh my gosh. It was so many people.
And a handful of guides. So it's
It wasn't just us. Yeah. There was a bunch of other guides as well. So it was a whole bunch of us going out. There's probably a grand total of maybe like 110 people total, maybe.
That was a ton.
That we just, this whole flock of people walked out and just started bird watching on the estuary.
But it's so great. You know, we had British egrets that were dancing around, mm-hmm. little blue herons and ruddy ducks and pelicans. And it is just such a fun place to sit and bird. There was a big sit there one of the days of the festival, and they mm-hmm. had, geez, I want to say like 73 species. No, it was more than that. Like,
it was more, 70 something.
Yeah, I think they said that like 88 was the record mm-hmm. of species just doing a big sit there. So that's pretty cool. And so, like we mentioned, for the festival this year, we did biking and birding the three of the 4 days. And our first day was the big bike ride all the way around Mission Bay.
We call it the big bike ride, but it sounds like a lot. It's normally 10 miles. There's an extension onto it this year because of some construction that has opened up a new path. So it's about 11 miles now, but it's 11 miles, not very fast. We kind of just putz along the whole time and see birds. No new species from what we've seen in the past. More brants than we usually see.
A ton of brants.
And then ringbilled gulls are outnumbering the California gulls this year by a significant margin.
I think the first time we ever did the bike ride, we got one brant.
Yeah.
And that we had to like hinge the bike ride on like seeing that one brant. And this time there was like over 100.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and it was like over the whole span, we saw like 140 brant. And it was a pretty significant number every single day. And I remember like the first year was like one. And then like last year, I think it was only one day we saw a couple different flocks of them. And that was it. Like, it's just interesting watching the numbers shift. And, like, the brant are a species of goose that's very focused in on a specific type of food. They're vegetarian, and they basically eat eelgrass. It's, like, pretty much the main thing that they eat. And it's kind of a sensitive grass that's grows in sensitive habitat. Mm-hmm. So they are very food dependent. But it was just interesting seeing how their numbers have changed over the years. Like, potentially the habitat around that area is getting better, more expanded wetland area. Whatever's going on. I'm not sure, but
yeah. And we had a couple listeners on that bike ride, Lynn and Dale and Nathan, were all with us. So it was fun chatting with all of them about, you know, the cool birds that they see where they live. And, also getting, one of the things that I love about this bike ride is getting the chance to show San Diegans, like a different part of their area, that, you know, we had one gal, I think it was the first day, that she normally does that bike ride around, but she'd never really looked at the birds before.
Yeah. She said she never really stopped and looked at the birds, and she's like, now I'm going to have to stop.
Yeah.
She's like, this isn't a good thing. Maybe I should just not bring my binoculars just in case. So I'm not late to work.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And then that next day, we did two short bike rides instead of doing the big bike ride. And that one, we came up with it last year, but we actually never ended up doing it because of the rain.
Yeah.
And so this year,
it was an option to give people, if they didn't want to do the full, we would do two different shorter bike rides that would be a little bit easier on us because we don't have to ride as far.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd also be more encouraging to people that were not as confident riding that far on a bike.
Yeah.
And so we rode just on the estuary, basically. We would drive from the headquarters, get to the estuary, go up as far upstream as we could, and then all the way back out to the mouth. I think it was maybe 4 miles total,
like that.
Which is like the full round trip distance was like 4 miles or so. But we did it over three hours, kind of took our time, all flat, even flatter than the loop around the Mission Bay. Got some pretty good species. It was probably like 50 species or so each time. Which is, I feel like, is pretty significant, like, to just go out and just go get 50 species and then come back in.
Yeah, and it was fun having, you know, other listeners, too, on that.
Yeah.
Luke and Neil and Joanna and Derek were on our rides, and it was just a lot of fun to chat with them, too. And, you know, I love doing those bike rides because, like, it's fun to see in the morning and the afternoon how much it changes because it's tidally influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first ride we were doing was on, during low tide. And then the second ride we were doing was during high tide, I think was how, or maybe
it was the opposite. Right. Yeah. So it was high tide in the morning. So there was very little wet. There was little mud when we were going around anywhere. So there was all the shorebirds were kind of hidden up in the grasses. They were kind of a little bit more difficult.
Except we had 6 little blue herons.
That's true.
They were all along
just
the riprap.
Right along 15 feet away from us.
I know.
And they didn't care. Like we had people on the first bike ride that wanted to see little blue herons so bad. And we were just like, they're right here, like 10 feet away. Look at this.
Well,
look
and
at
I
these
think
guys.
It,
they're just
I think
hanging
it was
out.
On that second, the second one in the afternoon was when I found the Eurasian widgeon.
Yeah.
And there was a lady the day before that kept saying like, if you see the Eurasian widgeon, I want to see it. So I was disappointed that, and then I never saw that lady again, so I couldn't tell her where it was at. But yeah, that was cool to see how much it changes over the day.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And we talked about this on our ride that a lot of places, especially very tidally influenced places, the time of day is less important than what the tide is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So most, like if you go to like the forest or something, or you go to the like, grasslands or and anywhere that's just not influenced by the tides, then morning. You want to go out first thing in the morning. You want to go out at sunrise. But out here on the estuary, like, low tide. Like, it doesn't matter if low tide's at 3 in the afternoon or if low tide's at 3 in the morning. Like, low tide is when you want to try to get out there because you get some cool stuff here on this particular estuary. So, like, we get out there, low tide was, like, in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So our morning bike ride was pretty good. We got like 50 species or so. And then we come back in the afternoon, we get like 60 species in the afternoon. So we get like a little bit more species just because the tide has changed and there's more area for the shorebirds to spread out in and feed. So it's just really, it's interesting to continue returning different times of day to different places.
Yeah. And another thing that I really like about that bike ride is that we can go all the way out to the mouth of the river where it meets up with the ocean.
And try to get surf birds.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we, over the, I mean, what is it, like a 2-mile stretch of river that we're going on? The diversity changes so much in that 2 miles that upstream you get some, like, you get, like, the little blue herons and a lot of teal species.
And you get horned larks that are hanging out on the uphill side just outside of the estuary.
Yeah, and then that kind of moves down into, like, more ruddy ducks and, like, cormorants. And as you get closer to the mouth of the river, like, there's the pelicans and then the gulls and all that. And so it's so interesting to, like, look at the cross-sections as you get closer and closer to the ocean.
More and more salt-tolerant species as you work your way back out.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really cool. That's probably one of my favorite parts. And it's also cool because you can't drive that. You can drive a section of it. There's like a road across from SeaWorld that you can access.
Old SeaWorld Drive.
Yeah, that you can access part of that estuary section. But to see the whole, like, you know, stretch of it, you have to either walk or ride your bike because it's on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. If you haven't had a chance to do it, I would suggest checking it out. It was also fun that was the day that they were doing the big sit out towards the end of the estuary. But they missed a lot of the species that we were seeing because, you know, they're limited to
their location. Standing in their one spot trying to use a scope to see as far upstream as they could to try to gather some stuff.
Yeah. So Dan kept trying to ask us, like, hey, can you shove birds this way? And it was like, we'd go out to the estuary and see that bird, but they couldn't find it.
Yeah. Or like we had a snow goose and the Eurasian widgeon. We tried to, like, go downstream, like try to yell at the birds to go down to Dan. They're doing the big sit down there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you got either one of those.
I don't know.
But they were on the estuary just out of reach. Just couldn't quite see him. So the next day we did the pelagic, which we will talk about the pelagic in another episode.
Mm-hmm.
But last day of the festival was a good day. It's always a great day. It's the last hurrah. Like try to do what you can to buy, get whatever deals on optics, get whatever, whatever it is you want to do at the festival. It's the last day to do it. And you're trying to rush and try to get it all done.
Oh, see, for me, it's like sad because it's like the last day at camp when everybody's leaving and it's like, I'll see you next year.
I'll see you at the next time. So it was good. We did the long bike ride again.
Yeah.
I did a little bit, like Hannah usually has me lead it up and then she pulls to make sure we don't have any stragglers. I feel like I did better on my timing of trying to make us get around without having to rush at the end on this one. Basically the same species. No real big surprises this year. We didn't have anything big pop out. The weird thing
was the pipit on top of the tree though.
Oh, that was very weird.
Yeah, the American pipit.
Yeah, we had like 10 of them that just like flew out of nowhere. I didn't see where they flew from, but all of a sudden they're all landing in the tree and it's like, what is this bird? It's too skinny. It's too light color. It's really tawny color. It's like, this is a really weird bird. And you look at it, it's like, that is a pipit. That's an American pipit. And that's 10 of his best friends all hanging out in the tree. 10, like 11 American pipits hanging out in this one tree together.
Yeah.
Super weird. Very, very interesting and odd. But no, aside from that one behavioral thing that was super weird, no weird species.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anything that was super interesting and weird, but a lot of species.
Yeah.
It was our biggest ride of the festival. 71 species. I think I'm just gonna say it's a record, just because I didn't go back and check. It was a new record for us. 71 species, but 71 species over a 11-mile bike ride around Mission Bay. Very similar habitat all the way around. It's not like we're leaving Mission Bay. We're not leaving the area. We're staying on a bike. So I feel like for 4 hours of riding, 5 hours of riding.
Four
hours of riding. That it's a pretty good list. 71 species.
Yeah.
I had a great time doing it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it's relatively flat. I've said that 100 times.
I think the hardest part is just the bikes because they're like beach cruisers.
Correct.
And you don't have gears and there's two bridges that you have to go over and that makes it kind of tough.
Yeah. We got to walk them sometimes. But
yeah. You know, like I said, we've been doing this for, I think, 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting to see how much that bike ride has changed from time to time because the Kendall Frost Reserve that is the San Diego Audubon.
Yeah, it's the northwest corner of Mission Bay.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious that like whole section they're planning has like grown out into the bay.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's intent, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just been fun to watch that year after year and how that's changed as well as the, it was like a mobile home park it's on the northeast corner of the bay and it's been like defunct. Like,
yeah, there was like a mobile home park and also an RV park, the Mission Bay RV park. And I've always thought the Mission Bay RV park was kind of nothing, but we were talking to somebody and they're like, oh no, it's been here.
Yeah. But anyways, it looks like my understanding, I'm probably totally wrong, so I apologize, but the city, I think, has been taking it over and been working on trying to open it up into more of a park. And so that's what caused us to be a little longer a couple days was that we were doing that new section.
We had a little peninsula that we could go out on.
Yeah, which is really nice. And there's a lot to see right in that little area, that new offshoot, like a lot of shorebirds that we were seeing.
And we got to get super close to the redheads. The one day it was really close to the redheads. The redhead ducks. Mm-hmm. And then another day was super close to a bunch of godwits.
Yeah.
As we went around it.
Yeah. So it's just been really interesting to see how that's all changed. And, you know,
there was no actual construction anywhere in our path this year. We didn't have to try to make any detours for construction. So that was nice.
Yeah. So all in all, San Diego is just, it's one of my favorite places to go because they're, like I said, you get out of the rain for a little bit. But there's so much beauty in it. It's like most of the sections of it are really urban and, you know, that's typically where we hang out. This year we got out and went to like Ramona and did some more like out in the country kind of stuff that we had the chance to do. We don't always have the opportunity to do that. We're usually more in the urban area, which, you know, there's a lot of birding to be had there. Like if you think of the estuary, like there are so many people that run up and down the estuary every day. And on the south side, there's a whole dog beach because they're really specific in where you can have dogs in San Diego, which, I mean, is great that it's isolated to one area like that to help, you know, try to protect and preserve the birds as much as possible, at least, or at least offer them opportunity where there's not going to be a lot of dogs. And there's so many people that are out and doing things, yeah. And it's fun to be able to show them birds, especially just the walk, like when we were looking at the burrow and all the people walking past.
The random people that are just kind of walking along and be like, hey, look at this owl.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I love to do is just share birds with people, and whether or not they go into birding or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, it's like, did you notice that bird that's sitting right there?
And look at this cool bird you didn't even see.
Yeah. Right. It's an easy place to do that.
Yeah. So thank you guys all for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and or learned something new. Please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Music, and anywhere else that you listen to us. If you'd like to connect with us on the socials, you can follow us at Hannah Goes Birding and Eric Goes Birding on Instagram. You can follow our Facebook page at Hannah and Eric Go Birding. You can follow our Twitter at Hannah and Eric Go Birding. Our email address, hannahandericgobirding@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, www.gobirdingpodcast.com. And pretty much every social media, we're somewhere on it. So just... Hannah and Eric go birding, something like that. That should get to us. So tell us what you think and share the love of birding with your friends.